Good morning. This is Wanderings for Today. This is Sil Stenman.
And this is Sandy Washington.
And this morning, Eve Glesny and Judy Stalnecker are here to tell us what it takes to produce the Holly Creek Journal. And I think it's a hard job to be following Joan Jones and Sally Pratt. They did a beautiful job, and you've only done how many issues so far? Eve?
One issue so far. It was a learning experience, but we're up and running.
Well, Judy, what brought you as an engineer into this challenge of writing?
I just love to write. It's so much fun. It is kind of weird that I would, an engineer would like to write.
You're not supposed to?
Well, engineers aren't exactly known for their ability to do that. I just think it's a lot of fun, and I really can concentrate on it. And one of the things that I've written since I got here was a book called The Making of Holly Creek, and it's about the construction of Holly Creek. I asked around to different people, when was the building constructed? When did people move in? Nobody knew, so I thought, well, I'll find out and I'll write about it. So when the opportunity came up to be editor of the journal, I thought that would be real fun. I really enjoy the formatting, adding the clip art, and I'm a real stickler for punctuation and where the hyphens go and things like that.
Well, you had a pretty good foundation from a teacher in high school or who had a big dictionary.
Yes. My senior year, the woman who was the teacher of the English class, she was amazing. She would make us memorize Shakespeare and come in on our lunch hour.
How'd that go over with the class?
and recite Shakespeare to her. She also, if we would use a word incorrectly, and the word that sticks in my mind is awesome, we would say, oh, that's awesome. March up to the front of the room, open up that great big unabridged dictionary, and look up the word awesome, and it means full of awe. It doesn't mean terrible.
Yeah, you learned a little bit about punctuation, too?
Yes, sure did. In fact, in my graduating class of 500, the English teachers chose me as the best English student in my graduating class.
That is quite an honor out of 500.
That's quite good for an engineer.
Yeah, for an engineer. Yes, one who went on to get their BS in mathematics.
Well, and Eve, you had a story about Cinderella.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Will you tell that story and how you reacted to that?
Well, it came to my mind because I'm involved with thespians. So I was thinking about how did I get started with plays? It started way back in about, I don't know, I must have been about eight. And we had a play in our neighborhood. My favorite neighbor got us together and we wrote the play based on Cinderella. And I think it might have been right when Walt Disney's Cinderella came out.
So you said you were age eight about?
I think so.
Okay.
And we practiced, we had costumes, we invited our parents, we set up chairs in the driveway and we used her garage. And I loved it. I loved being involved in it. I got to be Cinderella. So
that was at age eight?
Eight. So I didn't really do anything until high school. And then after high school, I didn't do anything till Holly Creek. So,
but you did the writing of this little play, too?
Yes.
So there's your writing.
I started
and there
writing.
Is your thespian combination.
Right. There you go.
Starting from age
Were
eight.
Were you Cinderella?
I was Cinderella. Yes, I was. I loved it. But the writing part of it stuck with me much more than the acting. So
how did you follow up with your writing?
Well, it took a long time. I used to journal a lot, which I highly recommend. It's very therapeutic. But I just would journal. When we'd hike and I'd see flowers and I'd learn things from them, I'd write about it. And Eventually, I took a class in Bergen Park from a woman named Barbara Campbell, taught this class on memoir to help us learn how to write. And that really got me going. So when I came here and I saw we had a writer's circle, I said, hey, that would be fun to try.
It's a good fit.
Yeah.
And Judy, did you have any formal writing?
No, I've never had any formal writing experience. I've written a textbook, too, an engineering textbook, but of course that hardly counts.
That's not your leisure reading, right?
No. No, I haven't had any formal training, but we're real excited about the journal, and we want to encourage people that haven't written an article for the journal before to think about something that they could write. I know everybody has a little story somewhere about something that happened to them or something. So Eve and I would really like to see some
new
blood.
Will you have a section of the book for the new beginners?
No. And as you could read in the last journal, if you submit something, you should email it to both Eve and I as a Word document attachment. And if you're not tech savvy enough to do that, you could put it in my mailbox, which is 2136. And we'd really like to see some more poetry, too, because when I format the journal, I have trouble sometimes. There's space at the end of a page, and I don't have anything to put there. So short poems are certainly welcome.
A short one is good.
Yes.
For all those fillings.
And short stories, too.
Yeah.
And Judy, you're always a fixer, aren't you? I mean, any of us who are not writers, we can submit something and you can fix it.
I think it must be my engineering or mathematics. I want everything to be just so. For example, if you're in the morning and you say a.m., there's only one correct way to do that, little a, period, little m, period. You can't do it with capitals. You can't do it with no periods. And the biggest mistake that I find when people submit something is that they do not know when you have a quotation that the period always comes first and the quotation mark second, always. Another thing, I have my Google handy because there are so many two-word combinations, and sometimes they should have a hyphen, and sometimes they shouldn't. And I look at it, and if I don't know, Google knows.
Now, what's the rule for when you cite a book title? Is it underlining or quotes? Or
well, in the old days, we underlined because we used pencil and paper so much. But if you're using a typing, then a book title should be italicized.
Okay.
So if you're using pencil and paper, the fake way to italicize it is to underline it.
Didn't know that. But I remember it changed.
So do you underline and italicize?
Oh, no. No.
You do just the italics.
Just italics if you're typing. Yeah, just the italics.
Because I always underline.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah, and then you have to know the rules, like a song is in quotation marks.
Right. Oh.
And if you have a magazine article, the title of the article is in quotation marks, but the magazine is italicized, the name of the magazine.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
That's why she's so valuable. That's why Judy is the fabulous.
And if I don't
person.
Know the rules, like I said, there's always Google.
Yeah. So you Google that because rules have changed. Even the
Yes, I have the APA manual, which is, there are many different manuals of style, and they don't always agree. And there are times, too, when two things are correct. For example, I'm a big fan of red comma, white comma, and blue, whereas most people today like red comma, white and blue, and I don't. Because to me, it sounds like there's only two things. There's red and there's white and blue. But either of those is correct.
Okay, because I thought the last thing, if you're in a series, you don't have to put the comma.
Well, you don't have to, but I like to.
In your mind, it separates it.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. Now, do you have some specific rules for our journal?
Well,
this is Eve talking.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we have specific kind of limitations. It's not really. We welcome as much as you want to write, but we will only publish 4 pages per person, and that could be 2 articles that are 2 pages long. It could be, you know, any kind of combination.
You probably wouldn't put those 4 pages consecutively.
No, we would not want that.
Break that up.
And
yeah,
we really want to share, have as many writers as we can. So if we let somebody write a 10-page article, well, that leaves out a bunch of other people. So we have rules like that. We don't want anything political or religious. You all can talk about that amongst yourself, but in the journal, we want it to be interesting and fun and non-committal in all those other. Mm-hmm.
And we only want, we limit the length of an article to 2 pages.
Right.
That's pretty generous.
Oh, really, yeah.
Because the pages are big.
Yes.
So a story should be able to fit in that.
And one thing I enjoy is that the articles are from residents. They're not copied from other books or they're original articles.
Yeah. That's another
written
important
by the
rule.
Residents. Yeah. Not
You're
a
pretty
copy
strict
of
about
another.
That, right?
Yes. Please, it's only your writing. I know you might love a poem by Robert Frost, too bad. Or you've seen something really fun on Facebook, but it's got to be your writing.
And no AI.
Exactly.
And
very
we welcome
important.
Staff to also submit articles, residents and staff, but no outsiders.
Right.
Well, you also had an idea that you're going to follow through on with the illustrations that come in the journal.
Yes.
What are you
going to do? I had one of the people that's in the art group that meets weekly contact me and say, we'd like to illustrate one of your articles. And I said, great idea. And so we have this coming up time, we have a poem about birds, and the artists are working, they're going to give me a couple choices. They're working on a couple paintings of birds, so that'll be the illustration for one of the articles.
Oh, we look forward to seeing that.
And have you spoken to Sheila Kinsman?
I haven't yet, but I did look at her book last night.
Her book is wonderful.
Yeah.
She has books on birds, and I bought 3 of them. I have them in my closet waiting for my 3 sisters to have their birthdays this year.
Yeah.
And I actually looked at them last night because I would like to contact her when I have some extra space and use one of her poems and her illustration that goes with it. She works in pastels, and that's her book is the poems are written by her and the pastels are drawn by her.
They're great.
Yeah. It's a beautiful book.
Yep.
I do have a book, yes. I love poetry, and I'm so glad you're thinking of having some poems in the journal.
Well, write one for us.
There you go.
Now?
Well, when you have time. But honestly, we really want everyone to contribute it, and we hope you're all reading it, because it's a fabulous publication.
And to get that inspiration from the Langtons' poetry.
There you go.
Reading.
Yeah. Right.
I think some really good work has come from that.
Yes.
But you know, Carla and Larry Langton have this poetry group that gathers for 1 hour. I think it's the third Thursday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful to go in and
Well, I've heard
discuss.
People that come out of that
but
class.
But they're not original poems. They discuss and dissect different poems, whether it's Robert
Cross.
But it could
Cross inspire you to write your own. You could get inspired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he encourages that.
Right.
Yes. I know, and it's very hard, though, for some people to do that.
I can't write poetry. That's not my thing.
Well, and some poetry doesn't rhyme, but it's still poetry.
I know.
Beautiful.
There's new forms.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a class many years ago, and I don't remember anything.
Well, I'd like to have you each describe your part of what you do specifically for the journal publication. Eve, do you want to start?
Well, my role is pretty minimal. I'm pretty much the sidekick. I do get the printed journals. I take them down to the mailroom. I distribute them. I keep getting them printed when we need more. I do help read after you've already edited, but Judy's the one that really does the hard
work. But you proofread before you put this together?
Yes.
You do the proofreading?
I'm just the second pair of eyes. The main pair is my cohort here.
Eve proofreads what I do, and she also, besides distributing the journal, she puts notices on Grand Care to make sure people are aware
where it
is and to come and pick it up.
Now, is it printed right here in the office?
Oh, yeah, right.
That must be a big day.
Well, I don't know how they do it. I think maybe overnight. And we don't ask for like 200 copies at once. We'll maybe get 50 and then see how that goes and then say we need more. And they're wonderful.
They assemble and put it together.
Somehow our machine in there does all that. It all comes out ready to go. But only because Judy knows how to format it and sends it off to, it's Nora that handles it. So she then gets it and gets it into the copying machine in the right way and pushes a button and off it goes. So we're very fortunate to have that help.
Absolutely.
But we couldn't do it without Judy's expertise to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
She's the main,
you're a good team.
We like working
together. Yeah, we do. We enjoy it.
Yeah. But you need to ask.
Yeah, what I do is people, when they send an article, I've got to make it so that the margins are exactly a certain thing and the title is in 16 point and then there's an 8-point space and then there's a 14 point by so and such and so on.
Now, do these writers have to know that?
No. And in fact, don't let anybody be afraid of that. I don't care whether it's formatted or not.
You'll fix it.
I'll fix it, yeah. The only thing I would tell somebody is try and do it in 14-point types so that you know how much space you're taking up.
Now, when you say 14-point, how do we find that on our computers?
Well, when you go up to the home on the upper left-hand corner, and you can see whether it's 12. Most computers are set up to be 11-point, whether you like it or not. Mm. So where the 11-point is, you can click on that, and then it'll give you a lot of choices.
And choose 14.
Yeah, choose 14. So besides making the margins right and the type size correct, of course, I have to see whether it needs hyphens and whether you spelled words correctly. And
now you'll make me lazy. I think, Judy will do all that for me.
And in fact, one I just did, there was a Spanish word, and I wanted to make sure they had that it was the name of a street, spelled correctly. So I got out my Google, and it was spelled correctly, but the O had a accent mark. And so I went into my symbols, insert symbol, and found an O with an accent mark so that the word would be correct as it should have an accent mark over the O. So not only do I do all that, but then I try and make it so it's exactly one page or exactly two pages. And I can fool around with that by making the spaces between paragraphs smaller or larger.
Are you up to the last hours?
I just have so much fun. I enjoy it.
Okay. You're a real perfectionist.
Yes.
I am a perfectionist.
It's an engineering mind.
But
it's wonderful. Readers, we're lucky to have you.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
When we're hearing this from Judy, you take care of all that.
Yes.
We present you with the material, and you go at it.
That's right.
We need to try our best on that kind of thing, so we learn about it, too.
No, it doesn't matter. People have called me OCD, and I wear the title proudly.
That's a compliment.
You know, I have a daughter who's a psychiatrist, and she says everybody has a little OCD. I know I do.
Things, uh-huh.
That's probably a good thing, a lucky thing.
It would motivate you, keep you a little bit. Judy, also, I'd like to hear more about what's available to the residents here in Holly Creek as far as your writings and Tell us what you like to write about and how that came about.
Yes, my favorite thing to write about is Colorado history. And so for the journal, I've written several things about Colorado history. I was just telling this group this morning that yesterday I was working on a story about the Moffett Tunnel that the train goes through, the ski train to Winter Park. But in other journals, I've written a story about the first airplane flight over Denver, and that was in 1910. And I wrote a story about Camp Amache, the internment camp, and about three of our residents who were in Holly Creek residents who were in internment camps. Two of them were in Colorado's Camp Amache. And I've written about how the Grand River became the Colorado River. Grand Junction is named after the Grand River, and so is Grand Lake, but that was before it was called the Colorado River. I've written about 17 Mile House, and that is Centennial's only structure that's on the National Register of Historic Places. Denver, because of its old mansions, has hundreds of structures on the National Register of Historic Places, but Centennial only has one. You've all heard of the 4 Mile House, 4 miles from Denver, but there's a 17 Mile House here in Centennial, and you can go visit it. You might try doing that. So,
where is that located?
It's south of here, just off Parker Road. Look it up on your computer, 17 Mile House.
Was that a private residence?
It was, yes. It started out, of course, as a farm, and then it took in people that were coming on the trails from the east to migrate to Denver, and they stopped and laid over there at this farmhouse, just like they laid over at the 4 Mile House that you're probably more familiar with. Mm-hmm. And because of my love of history, I've donated 90 of my Colorado history books to Holly Creek. And you can find the Colorado history bookcase down on first floor south in the paperback book room. And Dan and Fran Parker also have donated several books. So there's a wonderful wealth of books down there that I know you would enjoy, and you just probably don't even know they're there. You can read about Mayor Robert Speer. One of my favorite books down there is Death of an Heir, and that's a book about the murder, capture and murder of Adolf Coors III. And there's just everything down there. There's coffee table books, picture books. There's a coffee table book about the history of cars in Colorado, one about the beginnings of Vail, picture books about historic mansions. So I would encourage people to come down and check it out and take a book back to your apartment and read it. And if you have books to donate, I like to put a sticker inside of the front cover of who donated it. So if you would have a book to donate, I'd like you to get it to me, and maybe you could just put a note in it. This book is from so-and-so, and give it to the concierge and say, get this book to Judy Stalnaker. It's a wonderful selection of books.
And it'd be interesting to know who's experienced that book.
Right. Tell us about the Holly Creek book. You said it, we could get it in Molly's?
Yes, that book that I mentioned at the beginning, The Making of Holly Creeks, yes, it's available in Molly's. It's right up by the cash register, kind of to the left. And I really was curious about The Making of Holly Creek and was lucky to be able to work with the person who was the head of CLC at the time it was built. He came to my apartment and gave me all sorts of facts that were in his computer and in his head that I wouldn't have been able to find anywhere else. So it's very accurate. One of my facts, actually a date, came off a purple cocktail napkin as to when Holly Creek had its official grand opening, and that was the only place that I could find that date accurately.
Wow.
And what was the date?
I forget now.
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
We'll have to pick that up.
Yeah.
And
good.
Read all about it. How many hours does it take approximately to put together? Now, tell us first, when is the deadline for this next coming issue of the journal?
Well, it's February 1st.
February 1st.
So you people out there that are writing, please get it to us before then. But just know that this happens four times a year. So if you don't get yours in now, you can get it in for the next one. But
it's helpful for you to have these.
Well,
and
yes.
You can kind of look at them.
Right.
Not all at once.
Right. And Judy loves to have a few at a time because you can tell how much she spends on each one to get them right. And then she's the one that figured out how to line them up so they turn out well on the pages. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of time. So I don't know how much
time. You probably have no idea how much time you spend.
I do not have any idea.
Yeah.
But I am doing more clip art than used to. Used to be maybe 50% of the articles had photos or pictures, but it's edging toward 100% now. It's I don't know, it draws your eye to the story if you have a little tiny piece of art in there. Like when Eve had her Cinderella story, we had a little head of Cinderella in the article.
That's right.
That yes. I found online.
Revival of your picture,
yes.
Eve.
I don't think I have any photos of that moment, so it's a good thing.
Well, Judy, I want to know when you sleep.
Yes.
Well, that's no problem. This is just something I just enjoy so much.
Oh, that's so
nice. I really do enjoy it very much. I might mention that I did look up, quite a while back, went to the library and looked up when was the first journal.
Oh, cool.
And it was in 2013.
Really?
Yeah, so it's been more than a decade that we've had the Writer's Journal. And, of course, as you mentioned yesterday, Syl, there were no photos or art of any kind for many years. I know I had one from 2019, and there was no art at all in it. Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful that it continues. Thanks to the two of you.
We want to thank both of you, and I want to make a special announcement for the future. Our next guest is going to be Anne Lance, who is an exercise leader.
Mm.
And it would be fun for you to put in either Sandy's mailbox or mine, 1103. And Sandy, what's yours?
1223.
A question or two that you would like to ask and have her answer this for you on the next Wanderings.
Good.
We're going to try and do that every week.
Good.
So with great thanks, Judy and Eve, it's just a privilege to have you.
Thank you.
I think we all benefited.
Yeah.
And that's Wanderings for today.
I love to go a wandering along the mountain track. And as I go, knapsack on my